You are listening to Adventures in Buddhism. I'm your host, Morris Sullivan. Today, I'll share with you a talk I gave recently about a well-known discourse by the Buddha on the subject of blessings. In Buddhism, blessings result from our good actions, and I'll explain that in the talk. Sometimes we don't recognize the good that even a small action can do, especially when combined with other acts of kindness. Once a rich man heard the Buddha speak about this and was very moved by what he had heard, and he decided to put the Buddha's teaching into practice. The Buddha had spoken about the benefits of charity and how we can compound the good results of our own good deeds by encouraging generosity in others. So this wealthy man invited the Buddha and all the monks who were staying at a nearby monastery to come to his village the next day for a meal. And he then went around to his neighbors, and he told them about this, and invited them to come hear the Buddha. And he told them that they can contribute to the meal if they wanted, as much or as little as they wished. But thus, they would all benefit from supporting the Buddha and his teachings. Well, another fairly wealthy man named Balalapadaka heard this, and he disliked his neighbor, and he was scornful of this plan. And he said he should have just invited over the monks that he himself could feed, instead of going around bothering the rest of us. But he said to the organizer, "Come on over and I'll offer something." Well, when an offering bowl was presented to Balalapadaka, he put only a little bit of rice, butter, and molasses into it. Not very much at all. When his meager offering was taken away, Balalapadaka saw that his food was kept separate from the other. He got angry. He assumed that the promoter of the charity had planned to show others how little such a wealthy man had contributed and thus shame him. So the next day he went to where the monks had assembled, and he brought a knife with him. He intended to kill the promoter of the charity if he revealed how little Balalapadaka had contributed. But to his surprise, he saw that his offerings were divided up and distributed among several other bowls of food. As the food was being offered to the monks and the Buddha, the promoter of the meal event said to the Buddha, "Venerable sir, this is a joint offering from all of us. Some have given much and some little, but that doesn't matter. Each of us has given in faith and goodwill, and so may we all gain equal merit." Hearing this, Balalapadaka was really sorry. He realized how wrong he had been to scorn the benefactor, and he asked for his forgiveness. The Buddha heard him asking for pardon and wanted to know why. While hearing what the rich man had done, he said, "You should not think lightly of a good deed, friend, even a very small one. If you do them habitually, small acts of kindness will in time have big effects." He then added this famous saying, "Think not lightly of good, thinking that it will not come to me. Drop by drop is the water pot filled. Likewise, the wise man, gathering it little by little, fills himself with goodness." So I'm going to talk about this discourse called the Maha Mangala Sutta. So sutta is a Pali word, same as sutra, which is the Sanskrit version. It basically means discourse, scripture, more or less. Maha means great. Mangala means blessings. It's usually how it's translated. And I like this because kind of like the Metta Sutta that we recite here every Sunday, it's really contains good guidelines for Buddhist practice. If you unpack this and you learn it and you put it into practice, that's a really good place to start with your Buddhist practice. So I'm going to just read it to you first, and I think, and then I'll unpack it a bit. So here we go. "Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Exalted One was dwelling at Anathapindika's monastery in Jetta's Grove near Savatthi. Now when the night was far spent, a certain deity whose surpassing splendor illuminated the entire Jetta Grove came to the presence of the Exalted One and, drawing near, respectfully saluted him and stood at one side. Standing thus, the Deva addressed the Exalted One, in verse. Many deities and men yearning after good have pondered on blessings. Pray, tell me the greatest blessing. Not to associate with the foolish, but to associate with the wise and to honor those who are worthy of honor. This is the greatest blessing. To reside in a suitable locality, to have done meritorious actions in the past, and to set oneself in the right course, this is the greatest blessing. To have much learning, to be skilled in handicraft, well-trained in discipline, and be of good speech, this is the greatest blessing. To support mother and father, to cherish wife and children, and to be engaged in peaceful occupation, this is the greatest blessing. To be generous in giving, to be righteous in conduct, to help one's relatives, and to be blameless in action, this is the greatest blessing. To loathe more evil and abstain from it, to refrain from intoxicants, and to be steadfast in virtue, this is the greatest blessing. To be respectful, humble, contented, and grateful, and to listen to the Dharma on true occasions, this is the greatest blessing. To be patient and obedient, to associate with monks and to have religious discussions on due occasions, this is the greatest blessing. Self-restraint, a holy and chaste life, the perception of the noble truths and the realization of nirvana, this is the greatest blessing. A mind unruffled by the vagaries of fortune, from sorrow freed, from defilements cleansed, and from fear liberated, this is the greatest blessing. Those who thus abide ever remain invincible, in happiness established. These are the greatest blessings. So let me kind of unpack this a little bit and talk about some of the things that you might find useful in here. So, you know, this time of year, there's a lot of graduation ceremonies and things like that. And being a chaplain, I get asked to do benedictions. And benedictions are basically blessings. So in our culture, we commonly think of a blessing and saying a prayer to bless someone as being really kind of asking God to bless people, and that's okay. But in Buddhism, we see that as a little bit different. So this word mangala, which we translate as blessing, can also be described as that which is conducive to happiness and prosperity and general well-being. So those things that lead to well-being. So think of people saying something like, my job is such a blessing, or I am so blessed to have such wonderful children, things like that. It's kind of the same idea. What does it mean to be blessed to have wonderful children, like those back there? I saw that look. You know, it means that we have this condition, this situation, that is conducive to happiness. And so in Buddhism, blessings are basically synonymous with good fortune, and good fortune is the result of our good actions. Law of karma says to do a good thing, you get a good result. You do a bad thing, you get a bad result. So our good fortune is the result of the good things that we've done. So to ask, what does it mean to be a blessing? It's kind of like asking, what is goodness? And so that's why this kind of list ends up as a list of things that we can do or have done or may realize that lead to good fortune. So what does it mean to be blessed? And he starts off by saying not to associate with the foolish, but to associate with wise and to honor those who are worthy of honor. This is the greatest blessing. What does this mean, the foolish? It means that people who live according to... It means most people, really. You know, most people let themselves be buffeted around by feelings and distractions and greed and anger and all of those kinds of things. So we're not talking about just uncouth people or uneducated people, but really people who don't make an effort to train their minds in living a better way. So why are you here? Why do we come here on Sunday mornings? In part, it's to be with others who are practicing the Buddha's teachings. And so that puts us in this position of associating with the wise, which is a blessing. Now, this doesn't mean that we're all perfect. I certainly have my moments of foolishness. But generally, if we spend time with people who know what leads to happiness and know what leads to harm and who have set their minds on living in ways that lead to benefit and not doing things that lead to harm, is going to be good for us. And so that's our blessing. To reside in a suitable locality, to have done meritorious actions in the past, and to set oneself on the right course, this is the greatest blessing. So you live in a civilized place where teachings like this one are available to you and where the Dharma is put into practice. And that's a blessing. That's what this is saying. And you're here because of past meritorious actions. You can only be here because of good karma that you've done in the past. You may have walked in here I've had people tell me that they came in here because of bad things that they've done and they want to get over that, or terrible situations that they're dealing with and that kind of stuff. You might have walked in feeling awful or like your life wasn't going well, maybe carrying a lot of self-blame. But you can't be here if there's not something good about you. That's what got you here. So past good actions, your presence is the result of your goodness. It's important to remember that. It's important to realize that that goodness is a blessing to us also. To have much learning, to be skillful in handicraft, well-trained in discipline, and be of good speech, support your parents and family, and make your living peaceful. These are great blessings. So now we're kind of making a little switch in what we're looking at here. These are things that we can do to have more blessings, to develop greater good fortune. So live your life attentively, basically. You know, be heedful. Do what you do for a living, and as you go through your day and as you make your lifestyle choices, including choosing your words with care and attention. Good speech, by the way, it talks about that, includes words said at appropriate times, saying things that are truthful and friendly and helpful and based in goodwill and compassion. And so avoiding saying things that are based in anger and animosity. To be generous in giving, to be righteous in conduct, to be blameless in action, to loathe and abstain from evil, not abuse intoxicants, set your mind on the virtuous. So as I said, the law of karma says do a good thing, you get a good result. Do a bad thing, you get a bad result. So this is an example of that. If we're generous and charitable, which we can do just in the way we live our lives, you know, are we friendly with others? That's a form of generosity. Are we charitable? Do we help others that need help? Sure, that's important too. But also being giving with ourselves and with our attention and with the things that we can do to support one another on the spiritual path. And then abstaining from harming others. So, you know, when you become a Buddhist, you take 5 precepts to refrain from killing and stealing and engaging in harmful speech and those kinds of things. And to not cloud your mind unnecessarily with intoxicants. And that can include, like, what do you consume as far as media? Do you sit down staring at your phone and make yourself drunk on social media? You know, those kinds of things affect our mind and affect the way we interact with the world. And so, you know, we should be careful about what we consume and how that affects us. To be respectful, humble, contented, and grateful. To listen to the Dharma on due occasions. To be patient and obedient, to associate with monks and have religious discussions at the right time. So again, we're getting on again to what we're doing here, how we're living our spiritual life. How do we start the services here? What's the first thing we do? We bow. What does this mean? This means we're practicing physically humility, recognizing that when we let our ego run things and our selfishness and our sense of, you know, what special people we are and all of that kind of stuff make decisions for us, that will often lead us to a bad place. And so we revere, respect, and humble ourselves to a higher ideal, to the example set by the Buddha, and we show reverence to those who have practiced the teachings and made some progress on the spiritual path. And by the way, when you're bowing to a teacher, when you bow to me or whatever, or when you're revering someone who, because of the robes they're wearing, I'm not anything special. I'm not a rock star. I'm not a world-class athlete. I can't jump very high or run very fast. I'm really very ordinary in most respects, but I try to embody the teachings. And so when we respect the Sangha, we're respecting really that effort from people who are alive today and going back 2,500 years to the Buddha's time to embody the teachings and make them available to us. And so that's why we revere monastics. We train our minds by listening to Dharma talks and then having thoughtful explorations of it with each other, with those who have practiced and studied. It's kind of like, I was talking to Fred about this one day. Our practice as a group is sort of like jam sessions with other musicians. You know, if you get a guitar or a piano or something, you just kind of hang out in your living room and play, that's pretty good. But once you sit down with other musicians and play, and you get that interaction with each other, and you see where those things can explore, and you improvise a little bit, and you make mistakes, and then you build on the mistakes, and that kind of stuff, that takes your musicianship to a whole real different level. And it's the same thing with your spiritual life. Yeah, you can sit home and read books and listen to Dharma talks on Insight Timer or whatever. But when you really practice together as a community, that shows you where that can go. It also uses this word obedient. It says to be obedient. That's a terrible translation, but I couldn't think of a better one. It means that you can hear and accept correction. So, you know, your guitar teacher or your piano teacher or your Tai Chi teacher or something, you know, they notice, oh, you're developing your skill. Take things in this direction, you'll develop your skill even better. And they help you correct what you do in order that you do better. It's not following orders. It's taking coaching. That's a kind of a better way of looking at that. So you're developing your own expertise by taking notes from someone who has gone before you. Self-restraint, a holy and chaste life, perception of the noble truths, and the realization of Nibbana, which is Pali for Nirvana. This is the greatest blessing. So we're getting to the results. What happens if you do all of this stuff? If you really take this stuff as far as it'll go, live a holy life, do those things that lead to liberation and the realization of awakening to Buddhahood. So what do we say at the end of services? We start talking about following the Buddha way. That's what we mean. We're going to that point. And at the same time, a mind unruffled by the vagaries of fortune, freed from sorrow, cleansed from defilements, liberated from fear, this is the greatest blessing. Those who thus abide ever remain invincible and happiness established. These are the greatest blessings. So it's not just pie in the sky. It's not, oh, do this stuff and you'll go to Nirvana. In this life, a mind unruffled by the vagaries of fortune, able to be resilient in the face of difficulties and misfortune, able to weather the storms of life and to live with minimal stress, and then ever freed from this in this life and beyond. So I hope that this was useful to you. You can look up the sutra online. It's out there. And it's a good thing to remind yourself periodically that when you live this way, it is for your good fortune and also for the good fortune of those around you. Like, where's the yoga person who said that, yeah, everyone around you is grateful. That's kind of what happens here. When we practice this way, the people around us benefit from it also. So thank you for your attention. Well, thank you for joining me for this episode of Adventures in Buddhism. I hope hearing this talk about blessings will benefit you and that you'll be blessed by your own practice. Now go save the world.